You're listening to the Shared Security Show, exploring the trust you put in people and technology with your hosts, Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 260 of the Shared Security Show, and joining me this week are my co-hosts, Scott, Mr. Canada Wright, and Kevin, Florida Man Johnson.
I love it.
The two shall meet.
Never
the two shall
meet. No, that's not true. Hopefully in a couple months we're going to be
flying. We shall meet.
Yeah.
Where are you going to meet at? In Canada or in the States?
So maybe this isn't something I should say in the crowd. Whatever. We've been working with a company to partner to create a company to do the same thing Secure Ideas US does in Canada.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's a Canadian expansion.
Yeah. It looks like we're getting to the point where we're ready to sign paperwork and start it. And if we do that, we're going to be up near Scott. So
yeah, we got to get together, eh?
Yeah. And I'm going to have Tim Horton.
Yeah. Well, maybe then I'll have to make a trek up.
Yeah. I really like Tim Horton's coffee.
I do too, actually. That's actually what I've been drinking. Yeah. They sell it here.
Really?
I
wonder if they sell it down by me.
Yeah, I actually get it at Costco.
I was just at Costco Saturday. Okay,
they sell the big cans of it.
Here's the thing I want somebody to explain to me. How is it that Costco has the best steaks that you can buy locally?
I don't know about that.
Do they?
I don't know. Jacksonville, they do.
Really? Then you.
Oh yeah.
You don't have like a local like a butcher or a meat shop or something? So, no.
We've got a couple butchers, and every single time I've gone to the butcher, they either suck or they have very exotic meats. So there's a butcher right around the corner from the office that you can go to. The meats are hit or miss. But they always have like venison and snake and llama, and I might be making up some of these. They seem more like do you want elk? Because elk is a major import to Florida, I guess. But every time I go to Costco, they have beautiful steaks, real thick. And it hit me this weekend. I'm like, why am I excited to buy a Costco steak? It just seems wrong.
Kirtland's best. Well,
I just like the hot dogs at the deli counter.
Yeah. Hey, Costco's awesome.
Yeah.
And you know the best part about Costco is they treat their employees really well. Did you know that?
I've heard that.
Highest paid in that industry. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the example they always use, like, you know, you can be profitable and treat your employees well and do all these cool things and stuff like that. And I like that. But I also like the fact that I can go in and buy a really big container of whatever the heck I'm trying to buy at that point. We now have more tubes of toothpaste than I think one family needs.
Yeah. Until the end of time, you'll have toothpaste.
Yeah.
So speaking of companies that don't treat their employees that well.
Or their users.
Segway.
Let's say their users.
Yeah, their users.
Because I know we have a couple stories, one about Meta and one about Twitter. But first off, so there was some news about Meta. They've been ordered to pay a very large fine. It was like $414 million by EU regulators, because they ruled that the company had broken EU law by forcing users to accept personalized ads. And this is actually a pretty big deal because Facebook obviously has a huge business in the EU. And so we're kind of left to wonder what's going to happen, because they have 3 months to basically outline how they're going to comply with that ruling.
Yeah,
they have 3 months to outline how they're going to comply, but the complaint started in 2018.
Facebook hasn't
already thought through what they're going
to
do.
Plus they're appealing. I don't know if they have to do it while they're appealing or not. But
it depends. My understanding is it depends on what the judge says. Like in some cases, they can appeal and they still have to say, here's how we would implement this, but they can hold off implementing it. In other cases, they could appeal and then Yeah. The judge can say, okay, you don't have to worry about it until the appeal is finished.
It's interesting, I think, that what the story is talking about, you know, the difference, what has changed, you know, that sort of led to this. And it used to be they had a privacy setting, I think, where you could say, do, you know, what they call behavior-based advertising, right? Or tracking or personalized ads. But when GDPR came in, it looks like they basically just said, well, if everybody has to agree to it, we're going to make them agree to it up front before you can even use the platform. And that's what they're getting penalized for. That isn't, I guess, in the spirit of GDPR.
I guess the part I don't understand, and I want to be very clear, I'm not siding with either side in this case. This is truly a, I don't understand, right? I preface it with that because very often when I ask questions like this on Twitter or Facebook, people argue with me. It's like, no, I'm not arguing. I don't know. I'm claiming ignorance. Please,
you're not trying to be impertinent. You're just
right. I do that totally separate. So here's what I don't understand. I get the idea that we want to pass a law, and they have passed it, says, hey, privacy is important. You know, all this kind of stuff is there. But if we work from the premise, which I believe is an accurate premise, that Facebook's main business model is the collection of personal data, right?
I would agree.
If we work from that premise, then it kind of makes sense to me that if you're not willing to let them collect personal data, that they should be allowed to say, okay, then you can't join the platform, which would imply they should ask for that permission up front.
That makes sense. Yep. That interpretation makes sense. The only reason I can imagine is they don't want to make it that obvious to their users who pay nothing that they're the product.
Except that's Facebook's choice, not EU's. And my understanding of the judgment here is that the EU is saying that upfront permission is the violation of the law, that you should let people in even if they don't allow you to collect their payment. And that's kind of like saying, and the way I think about it, and again, I'm not siding, this is an analogy. In my way, my thought process, that's the same way as, you know, I go into a restaurant. We have a great, it's Sushi Rock is the name of the place. And it's a hibachi place. It's got a sushi bar, everything else like that. If you go in and sit at a table, and you don't eat, like you don't want to eat, you just want to sit there. Maybe you're with friends, right? They have a fee that you have to pay. It's a plate fee, right? And it's like, hey, look, you've taken up a spot where you're getting the entertainment of the dude spapping on the grill, whatever. And you got to pay no matter what. If you come in, you sit down. To me, that's the same as Facebook saying, and I don't know that I'm right, Facebook saying, hey, for you to come in and add your data to our system and post your photos and see your friends and whatever, you got to agree to let us collect this data, right? And if you're not willing to let us collect the data, or you're not willing to pay for your seat at the sushi restaurant, you're not allowed in.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with how they advertise, you know, what they're setting the expectations for the average user. Imagine if that restaurant said no cover charge for people who actually buy food to eat.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm okay with that. If they say no cover charge,
that's okay. But that's not necessarily what people want to hear, or the best marketing approach, right? Or the best marketing slogan. See,
this is what I'm saying is I agree with you. It's not the best marketing approach. But the issue I'm having with this is it's not that it's Facebook saying that's not the best marketing approach, we don't want to do it. If I understand it correctly, it's the EU saying, you telling people up front you're going to collect data and they have to approve it is against the law. So Facebook is doing the lesser preference marketing approach and the EU is saying that's not good. So it sounds to me like the EU is, and again, I'm not arguing either way, but it feels to me like the EU is saying Facebook, everybody should be allowed to use Facebook no matter what, even if you don't want them to.
Yeah, maybe they're doing it out of spite.
GDPR was a spite law. To me, the GDPR is the same as those little buildings. Have you ever seen those buildings where like they're a foot wide, but they block the view. And it's because like this person inherited this much and they built a spite building. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That's what GDPR is. GDPR is a spite law. The EU said,
probably.
Google and Facebook make too much money. Yeah. Screw those hippies. We're passing a law, but it's for privacy. It's for the betterment of people. And we're going to fine you out of business, right? Like
that must totally be the reason.
Yeah. It's a spite law.
Wow. Well, we will see what happens. Because I'm sure they're going to find a way around that because that is a major impact to their business. So, because, they can't be just selling, VR headsets all day as their other source of income, because that's not going so well either. So
I like my headset.
I know, but do you have to sign up for a Facebook account to log into it?
Not anymore.
Oh, they eliminated that requirement?
Yeah. So it used to not be that you didn't need a Facebook account. And when Facebook bought them, 6 months later, they said, you have to have a Facebook account. People complained. I already had a Facebook account, so I didn't care. And what was it? Last year, they rolled out the Meta accounts, and they are separate from Facebook.
They're still collecting your data. Right? Let's be honest. Yeah. They go to the same data center.
It's still the same company, but... It is a separate account. So,
Well, let's talk about our second company not doing so well, and that would be Twitter. So,
are we going to go into our aware much section?
We are going to jump into aware much.
Yes, Tom. In this week's installment of aware much, brought to you by ClickArmor, the only purpose-built security awareness platform that is focused on gamifying the learning experience for end users, we take a closer look at what some might say is a ho-hum security breach. Not that exciting. But we learned that recently a whole raft of identity information and personal information has been surfacing on the dark web or wherever. It was obtained by using Twitter's API that had a vulnerability during the later part of 2021. Turns out that vulnerability allowed attackers to query the Twitter database based on things like just email address and getting a whole lot of information that was generally public. But what happens is it makes it more likely that that data will be used for phishing and social engineering because you have a whole lot of information about one person tied to an email address. So there's an increased risk also that people who use pseudonyms, they don't necessarily identify themselves on the platform, but some of that information might actually make them identifiable. So just because leaked data doesn't include passwords or sensitive information doesn't mean it's not an important risk to be aware of.
That's a great point. That is. Yeah. And I think I've seen a lot of kind of conversations about this, getting back to the email address that you use for social media sites. I mean, really any site, and how that can be easily linked back to you if you don't, say, advertise your email address or a particular email address, right? Could still be used to identify you. So that's why I'm a big fan of the, email relay service like that Apple has, the Hide My Email. I know there's other couple services that do that as well. So you have a unique email address for each site versus one single one.
Yeah.
Cool. I like those ideas. I know, though, that the vast majority of people are not going to take that level of effort.
They won't.
And we've talked about this before. This is one of those things where it drives me crazy how InfoSec will jump on, oh my God, email address is exposed. But I think that Scott's point is actually very valid, is that it's not so much that the email addresses are exposed, it's that there's one source for so many of them that makes it bad.
With a bit of work, you could expose a lot of that information, but it's the work part that's...
Yeah, exactly. And I think that makes sense. I think that for most people, I think my answer is still the same it's always been. Be careful with emails anyways.
Yep.
don't assume that email is real and
yes.
That it boils down to that in general.
Yeah.
This just makes it easier for the attacker to abuse it.
So this installment of Aware Much was brought to you by ClickArmor. And I wanted to remind listeners that free security awareness programs and content actually have some important costs. They're often out of date for many years. We've seen security awareness training that, you know, still references BlackBerries and stuff like that, which is kind of fun.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? And some of them don't have many time-saving features like automated notices or reporting. And most of all, they often don't engage employees to really learn anything. So you've got a team of people running an awareness program that actually costs money to run. So why would you deploy a free program that's going to end up wasting the time of users and of the awareness program administrators and still leaving everyone vulnerable because they didn't learn anything? So to learn how you can make your awareness program more engaging, fun, and effective, go to clickarmor.ca and give us a call.
And our last story of the week is about cars. Car vulnerabilities.
But not Tesla.
And I was going to mention that.
One of the 16 mentioned. Yeah.
And so, I want to be very clear. I am no way claiming Tesla doesn't have the same problem. I'm just saying this article doesn't mention it.
Right. Well, I like this article because it does shed some light on, you know, just vehicle security in general. I think this is some fantastic research, by the way. So this Yuga Labs, they identified some pretty serious vulnerabilities in 16 different car manufacturers. So everything from Ford to Honda to high-end cars like Rolls-Royce and Porsche were identified. They had actually done this research, I guess, previously last year, which builds upon some of the things that they originally found. But they found everything from getting access to internal company systems, basic user information, to actually remote code execution, essentially, that could be exploited to gain admin access to around 15.5 million vehicles. So that's pretty serious.
Is my read of this article and I've looked into some other ones correct? That all of the vulnerabilities they pushed out, and I want to be clear, this doesn't excuse it or make it lesser, but I think it's an important point if it's true, all appear to be in third-party libraries and systems. And like, for example, the ones last year were in the SiriusXM system. Many of the ones this year were in the analytics, which, by the way, I want to be very clear that if you're a car manufacturer and you sell me a car and then you do analytics on how I use the car, I'm pissy about it. And I'm aware Tesla does. right. They've exposed the security of these systems for analytic data in many cases.
Yes.
In other cases, it's management tools that are given, you know, that are sold. Mm-hmm. But if my read of it is correct, that it's almost entirely, if not entirely, third-party services that the car manufacturers are using, I actually think this is worse. And the reason I say that is my family, my wife was always a Honda person. When I married her, of course, that made me a Honda person because I don't care about cars. And we've owned more Hondas than any one family should, I think, until I bought the Tesla. And if our Honda, and there was an app for it and all this, I never installed it and used it, but If the developers of that system made mistakes like this, part of me says I could kind of excuse it because it's such a drastic change. You know, the car developers were building stuff that were totally unconnected and totally right. Or if it was connected, it was connected through private cell networks and things like this for one meaning of the word private. You know what I mean? Right. And then they made it cloud-based, right? And we see time and time and time again when developers make that jump from an internal system, an embedded system, to a cloud-based system, they screw it up. We as InfoSec have done a crud job at getting that information out to help people do that well and everything else like that. But in this case, if I'm correct that it's third parties, what we're talking about is systems that were built to be cloud native, to be exposed to the internet, to be right, and yet still had these problems.
Yeah.
Have these developers not heard of OWASP?
I don't know about OWASP.
Here are the traditional problems we've been fighting for decades.
Yeah.
None of these problems are unique problems to cars. Yeah. The only uniqueness is when we execute the payload executes on a four-wheeled vehicle. Not a laptop, right?
to me, it just sort of demonstrates the age old problem that's, you know, it was most evident from email, right? Email was never designed to be secure, and we've been patching it and encrypting, you know, in weird ways. And everybody says we need a better system, and, you know, there other messaging systems come up, but they never catch on like email does. But some new technology comes on and it's never secured first, right? It's always an afterthought.
I think it's also just how we see the car manufacturers just shoving every piece of technology that they can into their cars to basically compete with other car manufacturers, right? You got to have the latest and greatest sound system. You have to have all this connectivity and, you know, starting the car from your app and all these things. And I think when you, to do that, you have to leverage third parties and third party components. Mm-hmm. And that's to your point, Kevin, why this is really dangerous, because they don't know what they're putting into their cars.
Yeah. And they don't know the multiple systems. Manufacturers.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. And we recommend using libraries like that.
Sure.
Like we say, don't reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
But that puts that much more pressure on that third party to do it right.
Yeah. It's hard.
This kind of stuff irritates the piss out of me.
Yeah.
It just does.
Well, we'll see what the next Tesla vulnerability will be. You know?
Yes, we will.
There'll be one, I'm sure, coming out.
Well, we just have to wait for Pwn to own, and there'll be
another. That's true. There always is. All right, gentlemen. Well, I think that's all we have time for today. But thank you both, as
thank
always.
Thank you,
Tom.
Thank you.
And we will have more interesting stories for everyone again next week. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app, or leave us a rating and review. To catch all the latest from the show, visit our website, sharedsecurity.net, for all show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter at SharedSec and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Shared Security Show.